Glory to God. This is 2014, guys. That means it's a year of greater glory. We're still here. We're in the second month. You know that? Time is passing. The Bible says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. So how do you redeem the time? Well, you live for eternity. You live in the light of eternity. The days are evil, but we are not living according to the days. We are living according to eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We've received a kingdom, an eternal kingdom. Glory to God. We've received eternal life. Amen. In the old covenant it said, as your days, so shall your strength be. But we've received eternal life. We're not locked into the days anymore. Those who are locked into the days are experiencing evil days. But we are living according to the kingdom.
Thank you, Lord.
We're living by eternity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're living for eternity. We're already living in eternity.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If you didn't know that already, well, you did learn something today. This is part five of this series, Greater Glory. Remember last time we were talking from Psalm 43 a little bit. Hope in God. Hope in God. Expect grace and glory. The Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. He will withhold no good thing from those who are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, I mentioned last week, I'm believing for a building in Stornoway with a big sign outside saying, abandon hopelessness, all who enter here. Hallelujah. Abandon hopelessness. You hear that old saying, abandon hope, all who enter here. But I'm believing for a sign outside a building in Stornoway that invites people to abandon hopelessness, all who enter here. You know all you have to do for that to become a reality? You only have to believe it. You only have to believe it. That's not a lot to ask, is it, really? Come on. Listen to this. Mark chapter 9, verses 22 to 24 from the New Living Translation. Jesus speaking said, this man comes to Jesus with his little boy. His little boy's got a demon. And he comes to Jesus. He says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. Listen to what Jesus says. This is the New Living Translation. I checked a few other translations. A lot of them look at it this way. And I thought, this man, I fell over when I heard this. Just about. If I hadn't been over already. What do you mean? Jesus says, if I can. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. What do you mean, if I can, Jesus asked. Anything is, I was just like, whoa, come on, that's the best that is. Come on. What do you mean, if I can, Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. I love that, man. What do you mean, if I can? All things are possible to those who simply or only believe. Remember what Jesus said to Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, who'd just been told, folks, that his daughter had died. He'd come to Jesus to invite Jesus to his house because his daughter was sick. And he wanted Jesus to come and touch her and heal her. And there's a wee bit of a kind of a diversion. And then a messenger comes to Jairus and says, don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. She died. It's too late, in other words. And Jesus turns to Jairus. Just after Jesus hears this message being relayed to Jairus, and he turns to Jairus and says, don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear enter in right now. Fear, you came to me in faith. Fear is threatening to cripple that faith, to paralyze that faith. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Believe. I mean, put yourself in that position. It's easy just to read things off a page, but put yourself in there. You're Jairus. Now, you've had faith that Jesus can come and heal your daughter, but you've just heard that, come on, parents out there, how would you respond if you just heard that your child had died? The natural response is to fall apart. But Jesus hears what's been said. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Only believe. I tell you, I was thinking about this over the last while. And I personally know what it's been like when I passed on the message. I woke up one morning, you can believe it or not, and the Lord spoke to me very specifically. Sometimes you just know when you've woken up, and you've not just woken up because it's time to visit the wee room. You've woken up because there's something bigger going on. Amen. There's something else going on. You just sense that God wants to speak to you. And the Lord said this to me. He said, go and tell my people that they have the power to say stop. That they have the power to say stop so that nothing will by any means harm them. Go and tell them that. So everywhere I've gone, I've told his people that. I've tried to tell the people here many, 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 many times. And you know what the reality is? Most folks don't believe it. And so because they don't believe it, they do nothing with it. And because they do nothing with it, the Lord can't act on it. We have a very simple message, folks. A very simple message in this church, and I believe it's to bring revelation that restores hope and removes the layers of religion and tradition that have obscured people's vision of Jesus. I said obscured people's vision of Jesus. Not only of Jesus, but the completely complete and perfectly perfect finished work of the cross. We're here to help remove the layers of religion and tradition that have hindered people from looking unto Jesus and seeing Jesus as the author and the finisher of their faith. He's saying to Jairus, you came to me in faith for your daughter to be healed. Don't let this message that you've just heard, this news that you've just heard, this bad news that's just been related, don't let that paralyze your faith. You came to me as the author of your faith. Now allow me to finish your faith. It's not over until it's over. Amen. He said it, and if we will only believe it, he will do it. Many people are not experiencing the power to say stop because they don't believe the message that the Lord brought. But I give you the power to say stop. Jesus said it. It's not something new. It's not something extra scriptural. We're not saying we've got revelation beyond scripture. We're not going to start the new book of new wine in addition to the Bible. No, Jesus said it. Luke chapter 10, he said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy so that nothing shall by any means harm you. To me, that's about the best news you could ever hear. That is the best news you could ever hear. That's the good news. That's the best news. And yet, many people just don't believe it. And because they don't believe it, they do nothing with it. And because they do nothing with it, the Lord can't act on it. He said, I give you authority. It's delegated authority that's backed up all the way to the very throne room of God. When you act on it, the Lord does it. When you do something, whether the Lord acts on it, what you do. What did Jairus do? He came looking for Jesus. Who did he come looking for? Jesus. Why? Because he knew Jesus could heal his daughter. And then he hears, it's too late, your daughter's died. And Jesus says, whoa, stop. Jairus, don't let that remove your faith. Don't let that move you from your possession of faith. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Do you think I can't heal death just the same as I can heal sickness? He came to destroy death. Hallelujah. And he did it. And he did it at the cross. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it is, he says he delivered those who all of their lifetime were in bondage to the fear of death. Don't be afraid. Death's not the end. He's saying to Jairus. And he's saying it to you. And he's saying it to me. Doesn't matter how things appear. Doesn't matter how other people have seen it and how they've relayed it to you from how they've seen it. Their perception is immaterial right now. We're here to bring a message that helps people to see beyond what they can see with their natural eyes. To hear beyond what they might hear with their natural ears from the doomsayers. And those who say, who've put a full stop on something that God removed the full stop from. That hinders them from looking unto Jesus and seeing Jesus not just as the author, but as the finisher of our faith. He started it and he finished it. You see, folks, our message is a person. Do you understand that? We're not here just with another more religious words. We're here to point people to a person. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. He came as the Word of God. The Word made flesh to show us what the Word will do if you only believe. It says in Revelation, His name is the Word of God. Talking about Jesus in heaven today, His name is the Word of God. We were singing about trusting in His name. Well, there's a name you need to trust in. Jesus came to show us what the Word will do. And then go on doing for those who only believe. As I've said many times over the years. Hallelujah. You have to believe because you live where you believe. And if we believe right, we'll live right. That's just as simple as that. Our message is a person. His name is Jesus, full of grace and truth. He's ready to reveal His glory to all who... Remember what Mary said to the servants at the wedding at Cana? Whatever He says to you, do it. Do it. Act on it. Do something with it. And you'll see what He'll do. He's ready to reveal His glory to all who simply or only believe what the author says and then do what He says so that He can finish it. Takes all the pressure off us. Only believe. It's not a lot to ask. That's all He asks. Only believe. You're only believing what He said, what God said. Not what you thought up, not what somebody else said, but what God said. And because God said it, you can trust it. Because God said it, you can attach your faith to it. And then watch as He finishes it. Was it Mastermind, wasn't it? I started, so I finished, remember? I don't know who it is. Magnus, that was back in the days I used to watch it. You know, many quiz programs, if the time runs out before they finish the question, that's it all over. But that made it kind of unique. He would say, you know, the buzzer would go and say, I've started, so I'll finish. Here's a chance for you. Glory to God. Amen. In other quiz programs, it's all over, but not in Mastermind. Hallelujah. And not in our Master's mind. Yeah. Do you know who your Master is? His name is Jesus. And when you have a Master, you obey that Master. You prove it. You prove your acknowledgement of Him as Master by obeying Him, by doing what He says. And in our Master's mind, it's not over till it's finished. Amen. Hallelujah. And He finished it at the cross. And He wants us to get that revelation, to catch hold of that. Hallelujah. That's why He invites us to think His thoughts, to think in accordance with the Master's mind. He said, when I think higher thoughts than you. That's what my ways are higher than your ways. So start thinking the way I think and you'll start seeing me doing. You'll start seeing more of my ways manifested in your life. You'll see me reveal my glory and greater glory. Glory, haraba, shakaba. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Not just a sun, but a shield. The Lord will give grace and the Son of Righteousness has arisen with healing in His wings. And He's provided us with a shield. It's called the shield of faith, it says in Ephesians chapter 6. What does that mean? That means that when you simply believe, when you only believe, it builds a wall of protection around you that the enemy cannot penetrate. Hallelujah. I said it's the best news. Man, sometimes you just know you're hitting a wall of religion and tradition. You're speaking the Word and it's bouncing off this wall of tradition and religion. Arguments are coming. That's why the Bible says our warfare is a spiritual warfare that we have to, and it's about casting down the arguments. The things that rise up, that's not what happened to me. That's not that's not my experience. That wasn't my guy's experience. I read a book last week. In fact, I read three books last week. And these books contradict everything that he's saying. Cast it down. You've read a book that contradicted that simple truth, you need to bin it. Amen. Your life is far better without it. It's not helped you, it's hindered you from seeing Jesus, the author and the finisher. I listened to a testimony last week. Well, scrap that as well. Tell you, rub it off your memory. Wipe your hard drive. Yeah. Never, ever, ever allow someone else's testimony to determine your faith. Yeah. Right. I don't mind. I like hearing testimonies too, but only when they acknowledge what God says. Right. Not when they try and hinder what God said. Not when they try and remove me from what God said. A lot of testimony is overrated. True testimony. The spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Amen. What does that tell me? That means that the testimony of what Jesus truly does in your life will always line up with the Word of God. Right. Oh, Jesus did this. No, He didn't. What do you mean He didn't? I'll tell you He didn't. I know why He didn't. How do you know He didn't? How do you know He didn't? Because it doesn't match up with His Word. Yeah. So you can say, you can try and dress it up as if Jesus did it. I'll tell you, he didn't do it. I'll get rid of a lot of testimony at the church. That's hindered people over the years. Oh, people loved it. It fed their flesh. Because it rubber stamped their experience. Like all the time God was trying to deliver them from their experience. He saw our lousy experience and he came down to deliver us from it. He didn't come down and say, oh, there, don't worry, it'll soon be over. He didn't come to put an elastoplast or a band-aid or whatever you want to call it on a tumor. He came to gouge that thing out, hallelujah. He came to perform surgery on that mess, hallelujah. Come on. The Lord God is a sun and shield, come on. He will give grace and glory. No good thing. Let's get beyond amazing grace. Hallelujah. Let it be the stepping. Let it be, as I said before, never separate grace and glory. Don't get me wrong here. But let's acknowledge that amazing grace is the doorway to glory. Hallelujah. Grace, you know, grace qualified us for glory. You catching that? No good thing will he with. No good thing. That's every good thing is the things that come to prevent, the things that come to harm you. The good things come to displace the things that come to harm you. To guard you against them, to remove them from your experience. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk upright. That's us he's talking about, folks. He's talking to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is you and me if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If we've accepted that his perfect and completely complete finished work on the cross was sufficient for us, just like his word declares it to be. Then he's talking to us. No good thing will he withhold from you and me. And everybody else that just only believes that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He did it. Remember, Jesus' qualifications are our qualifications. You know, when I was studying at Life University, I got my BA. I was a great student. I got my BA. Born again. Then it was time to enter the master's program. But I remembered that Jesus said you can't serve two masters, so I just picked Jesus. I'm fooling with you. Right, then they created a new degree just for me. I think they called it an MAD. And then they put me in the doctorate program and I got my PhD. Past having doubts. Only believe. Only believe. See, seriously, folks, the truth is that Jesus took the test for us, and he passed with flying colors. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord raised up a standard. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. You know, who remembers before the introduction of comprehensive education? When I was in school, coming up to the end of my primary school, the comprehensive education hadn't been introduced yet. It was introduced 1 or 2 years later. 2 years later, I think it was. And you had to set what they called the qualifying exam. We called it the quali, you know, because, well, maybe even back then we were into abbreviations, you know. We're setting the quali next week. The qualifying exam. And basically this exam decided your future trajectory. Speaking generally. And some people got out from under it. Some of you are getting nervous. I just mentioned the thing. Some of you have bad memories of it. Because it set the course for your life. Basically, it decided whether you followed an intellectual path or whether you followed a path involving manual labor or a trade. And for many people, it also set the course of their lives and limited their earning potential. Right there, in primary 7. It told you this is all you can do. If you failed it and they put you off into a 2-year or 3-year secondary school, which was great, in a sense it was a good thing, but it placed limits on people's lives. Because at the age of 11 or 12, basically you were being told what you were qualified for. What you qualified for. You know, for many people, as I said, limited their earning potential. It determined the quality even of their housing, where they would live. back there, 11 years old, in primary 7. It's a slightly different world now, but you need to understand in some ways it's not. Aren't you grateful that our qualifying for kingdom life wasn't based on our ability? And so because of that, all the limits are off, and whoever we are, and whatever our natural abilities may or may not be, we can prosper and succeed by only believing what God says in His Word. Are you glad about that this morning? That's why this is the best news. That's why Jesus said, I've come to preach good news to those who failed of qualifying. We came to the big wall called the quarry and stumbled. We came with the best news for them, guys. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. It says, for you see your calling, brethren. And I love it. It doesn't say not any wise. It's not saying, well, at last we've got it now. These guys, they thought they were smart. Not many wise. Not any, but not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God, sometimes people trust in what they think are their qualifications. Remember what Paul said about his? He said, now I see them as just rubbish. Everything that qualified me from a natural perspective. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel and I got the best teaching that old covenant Israel could offer. But I count it as rubbish. Just so much rubbish. Because that I might know Christ. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. And the reproach that brings. Hallelujah. Now he says, I've got a new degree, it's called MAD. Hallelujah. They think I'm mad. They think I'm crazy. They think I've lost it. Poor Paul's lost the plot. Even Peter said, hey, there's some things that guy says, man, I can't get my head round. Why? Because his message was this message of grace, this message of hope. Hallelujah. Came to fuel people's hope. To tell them it doesn't matter whether you've been designated as foolish or weak. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Doesn't matter anymore whether you were born in a brothel or a bungalow. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Whether you were born in a midden, and you maybe need to come from Glasgow to understand that word, from a midden or a mansion, doesn't matter anymore. Base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. You know what God's heart is in all of this? It's not to discard all of the people who are something or according to this world, or who are wise according to this world, or who are strong and economic or financially or whatever in this world. No, it's to bring everyone to the same place. Bring everyone to the foot of the cross and look up and see Jesus, the author and the finisher. Yeah. Hallelujah. Everybody trusting in Him. That'll take people who think they're wise to a new level of wisdom. That'll take those who think they're strong to a new strength, a strength they've never experienced. Those who the world applauds, it'll bring them to a new place of, they'll just cast off their crowns and begin to applaud the one who did it all. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. But. Of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I'm believing for a year of greater glory. I'm believing for more people who are going to be glorying in the Lord. Hallelujah. When they finally get a revelation, when they finally get a hold of everything that he's done on their behalf, when he became wisdom from them, for them, he became righteousness for them, he became sanctification for them, he became redemption for them, so that we might become wise, so that we might become righteous, so that we might be sanctified, set apart, designated as holy. Hallelujah. That we might have redemption.
Thank you.
deliverance. Of him, not of you or me or us, not of our ability. We are in Christ Jesus. We're in the secret place of the Most High. How do the foolish put the wise to shame? I want to tell you, it's very straightforward. By only believing. The wise are always, they're looking everywhere for the answer. They're in there, their brains, and you can see the steam coming off out their ears. You can hear the grinding, looking for answers and solutions to things there are no answer and solution to from a natural perspective. Governments throw money at things and just disappears in a black hole. So we just change, so we'll change it again, and we keep changing, and all it takes is one change. Changing our mind.
Yeah.
Changing our mind about who can do it and who can't, and who's done it. Hallelujah. Repentance is a change of mind. Results in a change of thinking, which will result in a change of speaking and action and direction in your life. Harabashakabai. All begins by changing how you think. Hallelujah. Thinking you can do it. You can do nothing. He did it. I'm trusting in him. He started it. He'll finish it. Hallelujah. How do the weak put the mighty to shame? Same way. By only believing. Hallelujah. People who trust. We were singing that some people trust in horses and some people trust in chariots. But we will trust in the name of our God. Hallelujah. Come on, something. Somebody help me. In the old covenant, he revealed himself. God revealed himself through so many different names. And it's awesome to have revelation about these names, but in the new covenant, he wrapped it all up in one name. So even if you can't quote scripture verbatim, all you have to do is say Jesus, and you've got the whole word of God right there.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. You shall call his name Jesus, because he shall deliver his people from their sins. What does sin cause? It causes you to fall short of the glory. So he will not only deliver them from their sins. Deliverance is only one half of the coin, side of the coin. The other side is restoration. He will not only deliver them from their sins, but he will restore them to the glory. If you're not falling short through sin anymore, you're in the glory. You're experiencing the glory. The glory is there. Hallelujah. Christ in us is the hope of glory. How do the weak put the mighty to shame? By only believing. By turning away from the trust in everything else and trusting only in him. Trusting in the name of the Lord. His name is Jesus. How do the base, the despised, and the nothings of this world put those that are something to shame? Well, it's very, very simple. By only believing. Doesn't matter how base people consider you to be, or how much they despise you, or how much they have just written you off. The Word of God brings you hope. That even failure is not the end. It's just a stepping stone to success. Hallelujah. Failure is an opinion, and I refuse to receive it over my life and over your lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Failure is just someone else's opinion. It might even be your own opinion, but I refuse to receive your opinion or anybody else's opinion. My God tells me that if you will take his word, if you will just take his word and meditate on his word, that you will have prosperity and good success. The best success. Hallelujah. Not the success that people strive after through thinking that they're smart, through exploiting their own smartness, through exploiting their own financial astuteness or anything else. Glory to God. God says it's me that gives you the power. To prosper, true prosperity. You see, the richest men in the world will tell you, I'm not, it's not enough. It's not enough.
Amen.
You know what the Spirit of the Lord tells you? It's similar, but it's different. He tells you there's always more. Come on, glory in the Lord. Spirit of the world tells you it's not enough. The Spirit of the Lord tells you there's always more. They might sound similar, but they're completely different. One feeds your fear, the other feeds your expectancy. just feed your hope. There's more. There's always more. Don't stop there. There's grace and glory. And glory keeps going from one level to another level. Hallelujah. Blessed be. One level of unbelief gets stripped away and another level of glory takes its place. One layer of tradition gets stripped away and another level of glory takes its place. Hallelujah. Just like that. Everyone who is in Christ Jesus has obtained an equal privilege of receiving whatever the Bible promises. You know that God invented equal opportunity? You need to understand, wherever God is truly moving, there will be no prejudice. There will be no racism. There will be no class system. All of these things will disappear where God is truly moving, where Jesus Christ is truly honored as Lord. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? That's good news, folks. God invented equal opportunity. People are saying to me, are you against education? I encourage young people, especially in Scotland, it's free, get as much as you can. Get as much as you can, but just don't trust completely in that. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of what's there. Take advantage of it and get as much as you can. Stay focused on the Lord. Get as much education as you can. Some of these things can be a wee ticket into something. Glory to God, where you can preach the kingdom that other people couldn't get because they didn't have a ticket. Get as much as you can. Apply yourself. It's only a few short years. Grab as much education as you can. But don't put your trust in it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody help me. Do you not believe in doctors and medicine? I struggle sometimes. But if that's where your faith is at, grab as much as you can. Come on. I was talking to a man of the world yesterday, and I said, how's it going with yourself? And he says, I'll be such and such an age next year. He said, I said, because we're talking about my mother-in-law, she's just had her hip replaced. And she was just 80 last week, and then a few days later, she's in getting her hip replaced. And really, it's just, man, it's, the next day I saw her, and I thought, wow, whew, this is really clobbered up. I said, now they're telling her she needs two hips and two knees. And I said to this guy, I said, have you not had any bits replaced? He said, I haven't taken a tablet yet. And he's a man of the world. I thought, well, not a whole lot of point right now in me telling him that Jesus can heal him because he ain't going on wrong with him. But you know what? I saw a whole lot of where he's at is down to his attitude. He's past retiring age, but he ain't even thought about it. Come on. It didn't even cross his mind to retire. I pass him most days and he's working. Sometimes into the late evening, just doing something to keep him occupied. If he can live that way, maybe say, well, maybe he's just blessed genetically or something. No, I think he's blessed with an attitude.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you, he's blessed with anybody who knew him would have recognized, even when he was in school, he was blessed with an entrepreneurial spirit. Hallelujah. He's kept going. He said, I'm not even taking a tablet yet. He said, I thought, wow, and look at the kingdom people who have got so much more available and who are floundering around. Come on, folks, it's time to come up. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. Hallelujah. Greater glory is yet to be revealed in the church, never mind in the world. We're the ones supposed to shine brighter.
Yeah.
This guy's shining brighter in this community than the church.
Yeah.
Something's not right somewhere. Greater glory.
Yeah.
Come on. Hallelujah. God is no respecter of persons. The basis of his giving is not determined by a sliding scale of who's worthy or who's not worthy, or when one through much effort on their part finally becomes worthy of receiving what he has promised. See, to our Heavenly Father, a believer is worthy to receive simply because he or she is in Christ Jesus. The Son in whom he is well pleased. Nothing to do with your performance, nothing to do with qualification. What Jesus did on the cross qualified us. He took the test, he passed the test. And he passed it with flying colors. And we're in him. We passed the test. We passed it with flying colors. And he looks at us and he sees Jesus. Hallelujah. He looks at us and he sees sons and daughters in whom he is well pleased. Whom he longs to give every good thing to and withhold nothing from. Hallelujah. To give grace and glory. Oh, hallelujah. That's why there's no longer any need to ever fall short of God's glory again. But you don't know what happened to me yesterday. You don't know how I blew it yesterday. Whoa. The qualifying exam has been removed. God accepted what Jesus did. His once and for all sacrifice, the Bible tells us, was sufficient to remove all sin and all of the remnants of sin and guilt and shame. Not just the sins of the past. Hey, don't even think past. We're living for eternity now. He's already prepared a place for us in heaven. He took us and he sat us down with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Some people think, well, yes, I know he dealt with the sins of the past, but what about yesterday? Well, that's past as well. Well, what about what I did this morning? Well, tomorrow that'll be past as well. It's already past, but tomorrow it'll be yesterday. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he dealt with the sins of yesterday, he's dealt with the sins of today, and he'll deal with the sins of forever. It's done. It's already done. I mean, Paul had to address that. I mean, he was preaching a message that was so awesome, folks were going, ooh, maybe I can do what I like. He said, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But he also said something else. Certainly not, he said, but in one translation, but he also said this, if where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Basically, he was saying, if you continue to sin, grace will abound. But that's not how we think. We're looking to Jesus. We're not looking to ourselves. We're not looking to our own things. We're not looking because sin always has something attached to it at the end of it. It reintroduces some aspect of death. When God said, don't eat of that fruit, he wasn't trying to keep something from Adam. He was trying to keep Adam from something. He was trying to keep him from death and the results of death. Are you glad that you're not under the sin of the first Adam anymore? Because there's a second Adam. In fact, he's not just the second Adam. The Bible calls him the last Adam. Because what he did can never be undone. And what he did can never be topped. Hallelujah. Come on. We are now part of the second Adam. We're not under the sin of the first Adam anymore. We're living in the glory of the second Adam. The last Adam. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. And I can tell you, maybe don't, you'd be a lot more excited if you did. I said, there's no longer any need for any of us to ever fall short in our experience again of God's glory. Do you know that what I've discovered, and maybe you've discovered this too, but sometimes it would appear that the very worst thing that you can do to a person is tell them there's nothing left for them to do. So people receive that as bad news. What do you mean there's nothing left for me to do? What do you mean Jesus has already done everything and there's nothing left for me to do? Does that mean I can't be better than the next guy? Because that's the only reason why you wouldn't want to receive that. Because you want to be the teacher's pet. Well, pet, I want to tell you, you're all the teacher's pet. Hallelujah. And not one of you will ever stand in the corner again with a big dunce's hat on. Maybe there's deliverance for somebody there. Maybe you thought the way they treated you in school and the words that they spoke into you in that classroom that they determined the course of your life, and maybe you've been living to some extent under that. Well, it's time to come over it. Jesus said, I give you power over all the... That was the enemy working in your life. That was the enemy working against you. That was the enemy trying to dismantle everything that God had planned for you. Maybe it's 20 years or 30 years or 10 years or 2 years or 40 years or 50 years later, but it's time to come over that. You don't have to live under the power of these words anymore. You just come and stand on God's word. Come out from under the power of the people of these people's words and come and stand on God's word. Hallelujah. And you'll discover that there's nothing, even these words lose their effect over you and their power to harm you. Maybe they thought that these words said limited what you could do. What you could receive. I walked into a bank one day to get a mortgage to build their house, finance our house, the renovation of our house. And we sat down, and the bank manager was there, and we were self-employed at the time, and we were in business. He looked through our accounts. He said, you will never get a mortgage with these accounts. And without even taking breath, he picked up the phone and said, could someone please come through right now and witness these mortgage papers? I was afraid to say anything in case I wrecked the moment. In case you remembered what he just said a millisecond beforehand. Only grace and glory qualifies you for moments like that. He said, I'll never forget it. It's over 20 years ago now. He said, you will never, that's what he said, you will never get a mortgage with these accounts. Picked up the phone. Could someone please come through and witness the signing of these mortgage papers? Could you and I walked outside and said, I was like, whoa, we need coffee. He did it all. I have no idea how he did that, but he did it at the cross. And it manifested right there in that bank manager's office. God revealed his glory. Come on. This guy looked at our accounts and said, this is full of water. And God turned it into wine. Hallelujah. Just like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on. Some of you have experienced things like that. And you just go, lift up your hands and say, thank you. Thank you. But yet sometimes for some people it's almost like telling them there's nothing left for them to do. Just, you know why? Because it hits their competition. It hits the competitive spirit they're still bound by. They love being top of the class. They loved hearing that they were top of the class. It fed something. I'm not even putting down any of that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But it fed something on the inside of them. But it created within them sometimes, if it went in there and got a little bit perverted, it created a kind of superiority. Before Jesus came in and took on human flesh, he stripped himself of everything that would have made people fall down before him, just because of how he looked. Come on, this is flowing right now. Come on. John, who got right up against him, went, oh, I can hear your heartbeat, Jesus. That's cool, John. Come on. He's recording what he experienced in what we call the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he says, I saw this cove, and I fell down before him like dead. Because he's back in his heavenly garb again. And he didn't look nothing like the guy I used to get up against. He stripped himself of all of that. He stripped of everything that made him look superior. He didn't come down dressed like a king, and that's why the most people rejected him. They were looking for a king. Because they didn't understand kings, true kings. So when Israel cried out for a king because all of the other nations had a king, God said, you don't know what you're asking for. This guy's going to take your young people, he's going to take your donkeys, he's going to take everything you've got. I was your king. Did I ever take anything from you? No, I only ever gave to you. They were looking for a king, and they didn't recognize Jesus the king, because he only came to give and not to take. He didn't come to act high and mighty. He came to serve. Go, Abasha. Come on, somebody. That's what true kings do. That's what true kings do. You might not like, I mean, royalty and royal family and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm not even going to mess with that. But sometimes you need to see pictures of that are very limited in their potential to show you something, but they're still showing you something. And revealing something about how the truth is in the Spirit. Why do you think it is, whenever the Queen comes into a town, the streets are lined with people? Because they feel blessed. She doesn't come with her crown on. She doesn't come with the crown jewels. At state occasions, she might sit on that throne, and they bring out the probably smells of mothballs now, you know, and brass or silver or whatever it is, or maybe you clean up gold with, I have no idea, gold or something. And she puts it all on and probably feels a little overburdened by it all, but when she comes on the street, she just comes with her wee handbag and her bonnet and her nice suit. Usually it's bright green or like jeans, piggish the day, you know. Shocking pink or something, you know. Some pastel colour in your face. And the people love it. Why? Because she's down there shaking her hand, talking with them. I want to tell you, that didn't happen up until a couple of generations ago. And that's almost for me, it's a prophetic picture of what's happening. You know, people, I said this to someone the other day, I said, I meet people sometimes, I say, how are you? What's your name? Oh, my name's Donnie. Oh, that's right. Oh, well, nice to meet you, Donnie. And someone else says, he's a pastor. Ooh, he's a pastor. They're back. I mean, that was inconsequential, because they just look at this, you know. All of a sudden, something's changed. I don't like that. That doesn't do anything for me. That doesn't feed my ego. It irritates me. What changed? You see, if you've got that stuff going on in you, titles are very important to you. Titles don't mean anything to me. We've got it all back to front and upside down. See, I'm not Pastor Donnie Stewart. I'm Donnie Stewart, who happens to be a pastor. Hallelujah. We talk about the Apostle Paul. He never once introduced himself as the Apostle Paul. He introduced himself as Paul, an apostle. Hallelujah. God's come with his glory to just dismantle all that mess. Because when God's glory shows up, we're all... we all just have to acknowledge who he is. Regardless of who we might think we are, all of a sudden his glory displaces everything that we think we are. The mighty, the strong, the wise. All of a sudden have to acknowledge we thought we knew it all and we didn't know anything. We thought we had all the answers and we hadn't even begun working out the problem. Hallelujah. Come on. Let me press this on. You know, it can really hurt a lot of people's religious tradition. It can hurt their religious pride when you tell them, it's all been done, friend. In fact, there's been more done than you've ever even begun to think about. There's way more being done because people have limited to what they could do. Instead of just simply acknowledging what he has done. Greater glory. For greater glory, all of this, the stuff of men, is going to have to be displaced. Yielded up, given up, abandoned. For the piece of junk that it is. Just like Paul. It's rubbish, dung. Fit for nothing but the dung heap. I'm starting to smell it differently from how I used to smell it. I'm not talking, when I spoke about pastors and all that sort of stuff, I'm not talking about, I believe there's an honour and respect that we give to the office. But God's not a respecter of persons. That doesn't make the person any better than you or me or anybody else. Do you understand that? You see, there's nobody in the church. You know that a pastor is a gift. or an apostle, or a prophet, or an evangelist, or a pastor, or a teacher. They're what we call the fivefold ministry. They're ministry gifts. They're not better than the gift of administration. You have a church that has nobody operating in that gift, it struggles to get beyond a hiccup. You need people. See, we're talking about maybe going after a building right now. What we first thing we need is a management team. People who are gifted in certain areas that will be able to take this thing, progress this forward. I've presented you with a vision. What does that qualify me to be? Well, a visionary. But who's going to pick it up? Who's going to make it happen? Because that's your gifting. And if you have the gift of administration, that's not any better than the gift of pastor or apostle or anything else. If you have the gift of helps, if all you feel that God has called you to do is to show up on a Sunday morning and make sure the tea's out and the urn's on, that's no less than apostle so-and-so. Amen. We need to get things straight here, folks. Let him who glories, let no flesh might glory in his presence, but let him who glories glory in the Lord. That'll get you more excited about church. Every Sunday I get to put the cups out, go by shaka. Every Sunday I get to line up the chairs. Oh, I love it. Oh, I live for Sundays because I get to line up the chairs. You're no less than the preacher or the worship leader or anybody else. And there's as much glory in what you do, as much of the glory being revealed in what you do, than what anybody else does. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pull the rug out from under every piece of selfish ambition the Bible called it. Hallelujah. Want to be seen. Want to be lifted up above others. That's why it says, even concerning nations, sin is a reproach to any people. What does that mean? That means the glory's missing. But righteousness alone exalts a nation. Not in the sense of superiority, but in the sense of experiencing God's glory. Hallelujah. And being a light to others, not being a look at us now and look at the state of you. No, it's to bring them in. It's a light. It's like a lighthouse. Hallelujah. Not only putting out it puts out a message. Hallelujah. There's safety by acknowledging what this light. Hallelujah. There's protection. You know, I think I shared this a couple of times, you know, about that whole thing about when a ship comes into the harbour, the first thing it does is it ties up. You don't like language like that in the charismatic church, you know. I'm not going to get tied up to anything. Well, who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him, he becomes tied up. Mm-hmm. It's covenants about being bound together, tied up. Yeah. You know, and I was speaking about this yesterday with James, and he many years ago, he spent some time in fishing boats. He said, you know what else the fishing boat does when it comes into the harbour? It doesn't just tie up to the pier. It ties up to the boat next to it. Mm-hmm. And it makes sure there's tires between the two, like a buffer. And I said, that's right. Oh, thanks for sharing that, dear. I said, man, that's how God designed it. And what's that buffer? It's love. It's love that's the buffer to stop us banging into each other and getting hurt. Love deals with everything. Love always believes the best. Right. Even when someone said the worst. Love covers sin. Love deals with its effects. Love keeps us together. We're tied up to Jesus and we're tied to one another. That covenant that we remember every Sunday morning in here, and you can remember any other time you like at home or wherever you want to do it. Glory to God. I want to tell you, that tells you something, that you're not just connected to Jesus, but you're connected to one another. Hallelujah. Yeah. When it says not discerning the Lord's body, I believe that means not discerning what Jesus did at the cross, but it also means not discerning the relationship we have to have with one another. Because we are the Lord's body. Right. Hallelujah. It says, and some are weak and some are sick and some have even died prematurely because they did not discern the Lord's body. Sometimes we just need a reversal of some things. Sometimes we've brought too much of the world's ways into the church. Hallelujah. Come on. And you know what deals with the world's ways in the church? Glory. Because when the glory shows up, everything that's of the world in the church just becomes so pathetic. Hallelujah. Oh boy. You happy?
Yeah.
If you're happy, no. Maybe we need to move that up a level. You see, according to the scripture we just read, probably about 30 minutes ago now, we already have wisdom. We already have righteousness. We already have sanctification. We already have redemption. And all that's left for us to do in the light of that revelation is to glory in the Lord.
Yeah.
To celebrate every day what He has done and to testify of His glory in every place.
Sorry.
You see, it's those who consistently glory in the Lord who are effective in reaching others. Because we are in Him and He is in us, we have wisdom. The Greek word there is sophia. It means practical wisdom, prudence, skill, comprehensive insight, a right application of knowledge. It means insight into the true nature of things. See, the Holy Spirit communicates wisdom to us. And if we think we lack wisdom, the Word of God says we can come and ask. All we have to do is ask. In any situation, Josie brought a testimony on Wednesday night. If you weren't there, you missed it. Maybe I shouldn't share it because you should have been there and heard it. Pastor, a friend of mine, he said God gave him a specific word for a couple. And he phoned them up. He said, you need to be here Wednesday night. God's given me a word for you. They didn't show up on Wednesday night, but they came on Sunday and they said, what about the word? He said, you weren't there. You missed it. Sorry. I told you to be there Wednesday night, get that word. You missed it. Was he right or was he wrong? Well, I'll leave you to judge that. There's a time. There's a point in time, specific times. Redeem the time. Hallelujah. Josie's testimony. she recounted two ways that the Lord had really blessed her and honored her faith. But you know what was common to both of these? You know, she asked. She asked. And she saw God do what God had promised. Hallelujah. You just only believe. Do what He says. Ask, and He'll finish it. Hallelujah. Amen. Why would we settle for less than that? Why would we settle for less than God's wisdom? His wisdom. He's become righteousness for us. The Greek word is, and my Greek's not as polished as it used to be, something like dikaiosune. It means just. It means the quality of being right. It means conformity to the will of God in all aspects. Right standing with God. The ability to stand in His presence without a sense of fear, guilt, or condemnation. That's pretty major. Why would we settle for less? Jesus became sanctification for us. Hagiadzo, the Greek word, is hallowed, set apart, dedicated, consecrated, separated. A state of holiness. A manifestation of life produced by the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know that the Holy Spirit in us produces the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said when we simply abide in Him and His Word abides in us, the fruit is automatic. Why would we settle for less than that? A lot of people stumble at sanctification being already theirs, and so because they say, well, sanctification, it's a process. And because everything they try and do to encourage the process takes them further away. And allows, some people who major in that, check out the two lists in Galatians chapter 5 and you'll see there's more of the works of the flesh actually operating in our lives than there is the fruit of the Spirit. Because they thought it was up to them to produce the fruit. And so every time they try and produce a fruit, it's actually a work that manifests. The work of the flesh. It's a pretty sorry list, that one, by the way. Why would we settle for less than just believing and experiencing that He became sanctification for us? Because a lot of people stumble at sanctification being already theirs, very often they fail to enter into the fullness of the next one, which is redemption. The Greek word is apolytrosis, or something like that. It means a release secured by the payment of a ransom. It means deliverance. It means being set free. It describes a conqueror releasing prisoners, a master ransoming a slave, and redemption from an alien yoke. Why would we settle for less than that? Jesus says, come to me, be yoked with me. My yoke is easy. My, my, every burden you ever experience through a relationship with me will be a light burden. Everything will become so much easier. Hallelujah. As you learn, as it says in the message, the unforced rhythms of grace. Hallelujah. Just get in a rhythm. Keep in step. What takes you out of step? Just unbelief. Fear. Just keep walking with Him. You ever been in a three-legged race? You know, for some people it's a disaster area because they don't get the rhythm. Others, you wouldn't even know they were tied together. They get down that. They're at the finish line before you can blink. Like, who was that? Oh, that was my kids. Oh, dear. Where's mine? Oh, there we are. Sack race. You ever tried a sack race? That's another one. You've got to get a rhythm going. Man, I'd be over. Off. I was doing forward rolls. I was in the wrong class. You know what I'm saying? Blah, blah. You get more grace than a sack of potatoes. But those that got the rhythm going, you would think that I was examining the sack for holes in the bottom. I thought that they'd cheated and ran down that field. No, they just got rhythm going. Hallelujah. The unforced rhythms of grace. Why settle for less? A lot of people are waiting for another sovereign move of God. Do you know what? The truth is that the sovereign move of God's already taken place. When Jesus moved from heaven to earth and then back to heaven via the cross. And when he came to the cross, he picked us up and he took us with him. So that we could enter with him into the secret place of the Most High. So we could live there and abide there under the shadow of the Almighty. Just looking up, saying, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. There's a wee bit more here, but praise God. I'll just finish with this. Psalm 107, verses 21 to 22 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving." The only sacrifice he requires from you is thanksgiving. "And declare his works worth rejoicing. I shall not die but live and declare and proclaim the works of the Lord." Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly, from those who are the righteous." You are the righteous this morning. I want to tell you this morning, if you don't know already, you qualify to receive every good thing. You qualify this morning to receive grace and glory. Freely you have received, now freely give. Only believe. Everything is possible when we only believe. It's time, folks, for us to glory in the Lord. And I'll tell you, the more consistently we glory in the Lord, the more His glory will be revealed. Only believe. Only believe. Take what He says and let Him finish it. Do what He says and let Him finish it. He started it, He'll finish it. Amen. You deserve the glory and honor, so we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and honor, so we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. 'Cause you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. 'Cause you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you, nor there's no one else like you. You deserve the glory and honor. So we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and honor. So we lift our hands in worship and we praise your holy name. 'Cause you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else If you believe it, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.